like Eli's personal hygiene's terrible, and you're like, yeah.
No, it is though. That's
it's
why
not.
I said, it is why I said that. I'm only reflecting the truth on a platform that is increasingly
How
lacking
is my
in
personal
it.
Hygiene bad? If I bathe every day and wash my body every day,
what, like, what are you bathing person. In? And
yeah,
what
are you bathing
in?
You can fuck off.
Oh, so I'm going to get it now when he questions you. So when he questions you, it's fine.
I'm an honest guest.
Turn the thing on.
It's recording. I'm catching all this gold. All of this gold stays in the picture.
All of this bronze.
It's not even bronze. No. At best, it's a copper alloy. At very best.
Any more?
Any more for what? Anything you want to get off your chest right now?
Any more metal puns?
Yes, my favourite. How do you get the attention of gold? Hey, you.
Not bad.
See, thank you.
Not bad, I got that.
See, I've got a joke.
Go on.
I've got a joke.
Are we all doing jokes now? It's not that kind of podcast.
Do you
have a joke? Right, no.
That is gold.
And that's our cold open, I think.
I've forgotten that joke. I was only told it this afternoon.
Wait while we add the credits in and we can do it.
Okay. Press the fucking credits.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases.
Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking usual posse.
Cheap Show tonight.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Hello, welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast where Eli and I go for the bargain bins, the charity shops and poundlands of Great Britain and find the treasure amongst the trash. Hello, Mr. Silverman.
Hello there.
Oh, look, you've got a smile on your face. I like that. It's because we've got a very special guest.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what... You give me nothing. It's like...
It's hard to
imagine,
give you anything.
No, what do you mean it's hard to give you anything? I'm giveable too.
Are you?
Yes. I receive.
No, it's going well. It's going really well.
Shitty stick.
Is that your gold joke?
Oh, just introduce the guest,
all
man.
Right, hello. First of all, we are in the surroundings of the pseudo-tudo...
studio.
Soho studio.
Hey!
Pseudo-tudo studio.
The pseudo-tudo studio.
The worst Phil Collins song he ever released. And we are here today because we have a very special guest. He's a singer, dancer, actor, writer, ventriloquist, goat milker, and comedy starlet himself. Why, in the studio we have Mr. Robert Popper. Welcome to Cheap Show.
Thank you very much. What an welcome. Intro. That is definitely, that's the first, that one, yeah?
Yeah.
Dancer.
You've got the legs of a dancer, if you
I have.
Have you ever felt the need to...
No, my wife does a good dance where she does a dance. She doesn't like to do it a lot, but if I say, please do your dance if we're out, where she dances... She looks like she's really good dancing, and then she purposely just moves out of time all the time.
Oh.
But it looks convincing, but then it's just slightly off. And
on the offbeat.
I love that. It's brilliant. It's just a
it's very avant-garde.
We sometimes do a dance in the kitchen where, like, suddenly I'll turn round. You have to picture it, and I'm just dancing, but facing her from my back. Like, she's just facing my back the whole time. My other favourite dance is standing right up to the wall really close, like literally one millimetre away.
Yeah.
And dancing really like as if I'm dancing with someone by the wall. And people don't like that. They go, stop that. Please stop that.
Well, we've learned too much there,
yeah.
But thank you for sharing.
I was at a party that John Sim attached.
John Sim? Who's John Sim?
John Sim.
The actor.
The actor John Sim.
John Sim.
Life on Mars, the master.
I never realised how difficult his name was to say.
No,
it's deceptively difficult.
Is it?
Yes.
John Sim is really
John.
Hard. John. No, I love John Sim's work.
Is this the Brazilian guy, John Sim?
No. And anyway, there were a lot of people
story?
Who were high on cocaine, and they were all there was a mirror, like a full-length mirror, at the top of these stairs in this studio where the party was. And everyone, I saw several people walk up to that landing and look at themselves and sort of go, sort of
that was me.
Make love to themselves.
That was him dancing.
That's what it made me think of when you said you're up against the wall.
That was me.
It's the whole thing about mirrors in discotheques, isn't it? They're there to suggest larger size of space.
And indeed, when I used to work in the bar on Hanway Street, now it's Murder Incorporated, I believe, the
that
cocktail
was
bar.
To be fair, it was probably
what
that
was
before.
That? What was that? All I know down that little road, there's the little Spanish bar?
It's the one right next to it.
Right, okay.
And there used to be sort of a late night disco sort of bar.
Disco is
very
stretchy.
Is it like a dregsy bar?
It was extremely dregsy. Mm. Extremely dregsy.
You didn't know where the dance floor ended and the toilet began.
The toilet there was an absolute nightmare. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was my thing. I did it every month, I think, for years.
You did what?
Go to the toilet.
DJ'd down there.
Oh, you DJ'd down there. Yeah. You missed that bit out. Yeah.
We missed many evenings were spent there.
And the guy who ran it, was called Jason, the mod, basically. Yeah. He was a big mod.
He looked like every member of the Jam.
To the point, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even Bruce Foxton.
Even Bruce Foxton.
Why is he the ugly one in the Jam?
No, he just had a specific look, didn't he? I mean, it's quite hard to naturally replicate that.
Yeah, a very specific angle.
Great name as well.
Paul Weller. Anyway, I've just got allergic to him, I think, now.
You ever think
I've developed an allergy to him. I used to love...
Huh? Because?
Yeah, why are you?
Because he's the mod father.
I don't think he calls himself that, though, does he?
I bet he fucking does.
Do you think he goes around saying, "Hey, like, everyone, it's me, the mod father"?
I bet he gets up in the morning. How's the mod father doing? He says to himself, "Oh, mod father's wants a cup of tea."
How far distant is he from himself at this point?
He's the type of person to refer to himself in the third person as the mod father.
Yeah.
But in this club on Hanway Street next to Bradley's Spanish Bar, they had this mirror. Big full, full length to make it look like a larger space. But it did its job too well. And I countless times I saw people walk into the bar and literally walk into the mirror as if there was another space, you know, in the reflection.
It didn't help that it was built into an archway as well.
It was built into an archway, that's right.
So it looked like a magical door to another area.
I can't pronounce that word, but Tromp Roy.
It's all right, you can't do John Sims, so we're
all
right.
I'm Tromp Lomp.
I love him.
Tromp Roy.
Yeah. Hey, it could be an artist. It could be an artist.
Is this one of our new character things that we're auditioning?
It could be a comic book about an artist who is a superhero and his superpower is Tromp Loys.
Yeah.
And walking into
mirrors
in rooms designed to create the Tromp Loy
effect.
Perhaps
he can go in.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Tromp Loy was when you did like a picture and it was made to look 3D by the use of shadow.
So. Like a painting of a beautiful garden in your house and you, I'm going to go in the garden and then bang.
Like Roadrunner, essentially, when he joins, he paints the
my favourite cartoon.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't paint them, if you want me to be specific about it. It's always Wile E. Coyote who will paint the tunnel.
Yes.
Whereas Roadrunner would pass through it.
Sorry,
Poor old Wile will end up with a teeth mess.
A teeth mess.
Sorry,
mess.
There's my one
That's
for
what
the
your
day.
Dentist says to you. It's another teeth mess.
You have no idea.
What your dentist says?
No.
Talks dirty, does he?
Yeah, my dentist.
Gasses you.
Right, okay, so I'm going to pause you here and wonder where you want to go with this next part.
I don't know where we're going with the whole podcast, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to take a little quick break now. When we come back, Robert Popper's got a little surprise for us, and we're going to talk about it in great depth. Depth.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yep. He does. It's true. Let's crack on.
Everyone loves it.
I can't have a catchphrase, let's crack
on. Everyone is. You see it on T-shirts now everywhere.
Let's crack on.
Actually, yeah, if anyone's listening to this and they want to make a let's crack on T-shirt, please do.
Let's crack one off.
That's for the back.
Yes, that's for the back. Yeah, see? Someone who understands me.
Understands. No. Not necessarily appreciates, but understands.
I've been with you for... How long have we worked together now? Like 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years? I don't know. It's been a long
time. It's somewhere in that range.
It's been a long time. And I don't even know you. I don't even know the myth that is Eli Silverman. The core, the beating dark core of your soul.
Good, good. Yeah, good, Paul.
Right, so, Robert Popper, thank you for coming along to the podcast.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate the comments. There will be a form for you to fill in afterwards. If you could just fill that in, four stars. Tell people how.
Three stars, fine.
Three is good.
Three's all right. I've seen that on a poster somewhere for, I think it was a comedy show, and I think it was ironic. And they had a few 4 stars, and they had a few 3 stars. I just thought, you didn't need the 3 stars. Just
it dilutes the 4 stars, doesn't it?
Yeah. Four stars, great, lovely, nice. Four star, three.
I mean, there's sometimes I think they go one star, if they're sort of selling it. Oh, on being... yeah.
I didn't know this was becoming a comedy review podcast.
Anyway, and I was reading the review, and he's like, everything's about poo, bum, willies. I hated it.
He's gonna like it. You like that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're like.
No, not what we're like. It's what we have got. It's all we have.
All we have
it's
is
all
poo.
We who. All we do is poo. So, no.
Yes.
I suggested to you to bring something along that was cheap, but means a lot to you, maybe something weird. And yeah. You sent me a link to an album to download.
Yeah, I did.
Please now give us the context of what it was, who sent it, and why the hell you share this filth with others.
In that order. After I cough. Right. When I was at university, Manchester, one of my friends, came in one day really excited with a tape cassette, that thing that existed then, that he had a cousin whose name was Clifford. He was 13 and had made his own album in his bedroom. He had a drum kit. He had I think his parents had a four-track recorder and he had a little synthy organ thing. And he just made an album for himself. And my cousin was there and he played, this boy Clifford, played The Family, the album, the unveiling of the album. And he said, this is the best stroke, definitely worst album ever made. And the boy's voice, it sounds like a very old, demented man.
I'm so amazed.
And, yeah.
Because I've heard it. We've listened.
Yeah.
Okay. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's something.
So the album was called Scared of Me. And there are a few standout tracks. I mean, the first one, Jumping Horses, is a complete... I mean, that's a classic.
He puts the banger at the beginning, doesn't he?
I mean, it is. But there's a banger at the end. There's bangers everywhere.
Yes. And it's like chitty, chitty, bang, bang it is.
It is. It's so brilliant. Anyway, we listen to that all the time. And then I started handing out tapes to people. And it spread. And when I produce Peep Show, when I was editing, we'd have a viewing once with Channel 4... For a joke, I recut the title music to like Jumping Horse. So Sam and Jesse knew the joke. Channel 4 didn't know the joke. Like, what is this? Which was fun. And
this was for a rough cut.
This is just to show you know, they come in the Channel 4, the Channel 4.
Right.
Channel 4 execs come in and watch and give you notes.
So it's a proper viewing.
No, unfortunately,
version.
I didn't do a Chris Morris and hand it in 1 second before.
Is that what Chris Morris does?
Yeah, he's a right bastard with that kind of stuff.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's a legend at that.
Yeah, well, some of that genius wouldn't be known to us if that wasn't the way he did it, right?
As someone who currently works for BBC Local Radio, that shit would definitely not fly anymore. Because you listen back to his old stuff and it was like... Yeah. Turning a dead presenter's throat into a flute to play and things like that.
He's anyway, the best. He's
sorry.
The best. And what else can I say about this brilliant album? My cousin, do you remember the band The Sundays?
Yes.
Yeah, so my cousin was the guitarist, David, and him and his wife, Harriet, was a singer. They put a little reference, because there's a song on the album called No Cinema Around Here, which is very depressing and bleak but funny.
I think that is magnum opus, though.
Do you?
I will say that is the linchpin to the album, I think.
It's a midpoint. They use a line from that reworked one of their albums, yeah.
Is it well known at all, then?
No, it's not well known. I mean, some comedy people know it.
Amazing.
Some comedy people know it.
And what became of...
Well, that's the next...
I mean, I met him years ago. He was just like a normal bloke. He goes, yeah, oh, yeah, that album. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I was like, oh, please be weirder. But he wasn't that weird. But he must have been weird. Because,
he didn't have...
I mean, you're going to play a clip. You know, it will be people listening go, all right, well, are you going to play it? No, we're not going to play it.
No. We're definitely playing. In fact, we're going to play the opening track. It is
Jumping Horses.
Jumping Horses at this junction.
Jumping out of sight, and jumping horses. dancing through the trees, jumping, jumping in hay, chasing all the bees, and jumping every day.
Juncture.
Shut up. Junction works fine if we're talking rails.
I mean, it's very much located. The whole album has a concept feel because you get a feel for his life and like where the cinema used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
It, you know what? It's strange because it feels like outsider art.
Yeah, that's I think, why people just dug it.
Have you ever heard of The Shags?
Yeah. Was that a 60s band?
They were a 60s band who allegedly... or apparently grew up
1860s band.
Maybe. They grew up never listening to music, but then went and made an album based on having no inspiration
right,
at all.
I don't know if I heard that, but that sounds good. And what's it sound like?
It's
terrible.
It's like folk, rock, pop, old music, new music. It's like new instruments to play old kind of songs. They don't really harmonise, but...
Is it not? Are they non-musicians, though? Is it that kind
of... No, they taught themselves. I think it was like a kind of demented Osmonds.
Right.
Where they were hermetically sealed in a bubble of some kind.
And then decided
to release an album. They released a few, but it was one of those albums where it was like, for instance, in the 90s, Kurt Cobain was like, this is one of my favourite albums of all time.
Obviously.
And then the sales of it went up.
When I was listening to the Clifford album,
yeah.
I thought this must be an inspiration to people.
I tried to get it released, but it didn't happen. I mean, I think it would be a collector's item.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Because anyone listening that wants to do that, I'm sure we can find a way.
A vinyl pressing of that would be delicious.
It would sell at least 50 copies.
On that, I don't know what machine he was using, what keyboard.
I don't know.
But there was a compilation album that I came across a few years back, which was sort of bedroom funk and soul. Those four-track machines and cheaper synthesizers only started to come onto the market like midway through the 70s, really.
Okay.
And that's when you started to get people making music in their bedrooms. And a lot of the tracks on that compilation have a very similar feel and sound to the Clifford. And it's that... haunting, out of tune sort of Casio keyboard.
Yeah, it just sounds like someone has dropped maggots on the keyboard, basically.
It's great. And that's why I thought there is beauty in the ugliness of it all. Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this must have been an influence on someone like Aphex Twin or something like that, for example.
I don't reckon he's heard that.
No.
No.
But there is a haunting.
I'm sure he would like that.
Almost sort of broken down machinery vibe.
My mother is dead, my father is dead. My brother is dead, my sister is dead, my grandma's dead, and my pets are dead.
It goes on.
The other thing that sort of dates it is the reference to J.R. Hartley.
That's what I'm looking. He goes, I'm looking for a book. What's it? Do you have it?
Fly Fishing.
Yeah, Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley. He sounds, I mean, it's really hard to do his voice. I mean, it's sort of like that, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say... There must have been... I'm going to get the character name wrong now because my memory's like a sieve, but the character you did on Down the Line, Brawl?
Brawl spoke like this.
There is an element of that that must have...
I suppose there is, but he wouldn't have known it, of course.
Of course, at the time. No.
How could he?
Did you do any of the voices?
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
I did.
Been listening to Down the Line. He's got all of it downloaded. You still need to send me that.
I did a variety.
Yeah, he did a variety.
I did one that I used to do because I do a lot of prank calls. I used to do this voice. Like, everyone hated it. I'd do it to, which was a person whose accent, I can't really do accents, just changes every 5 seconds. Yeah. So it was, and I used to do that as proper phone calls. But it would be, it's quite remarkable. The reason being, I suppose what we want to know is, and it just changes all the fucking time.
Yeah.
As horrible. I did one of those on the show, which was...
I mean, the other thing was, I had a thought in my head listening to this album, and once it came in, I couldn't shift it, and it changed the album completely for me, because it sounds like Zippy at times from Rainbow.
It does. That's who it does sound like.
When Zippy kicks in, you start to think, is this a pained passion project from the Rainbow universe? Alternative reality where he decided to put out an album.
I remember asking Clifford, you know, why did you sing like that? I said, all his answers are really like, not what you want to get. I said, I can't remember really. Yeah, I just did it. So, yeah, but do you have any photos from the time? No. Nothing. Do you have any photos of your equipment? Just nothing. Are you singing? No.
It's funny, like,
in a way makes it better. Just a complete mystery. Because I think even to him.
Because you've held on to this for years. You've been sharing it with people all over the world, sharing it with us here today.
I haven't put it online yet, so this will be the first time, yeah.
True. But then the guy who made it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine.
Kids stuff,
jumping innit? Horses is actually genius, though.
It is. Yeah. They're eating all the hay. they're causing massive destruction.
They're eating all the hay.
It's just,
that's when I'm won over.
It's beautiful. They're eating all the hay.
I was fond of Mr. Perkins because for some reason it reminded me of like a kind of B-side to a Blur album from the early kind of Modern Life is Rubbish era.
The other thing, we have an infrequent song competition that we run on this podcast, the Eurovision Song Contest.
Which we're not doing this year because I don't want a stroke.
The winner... You're obsessed.
Because everything is a stroke. And you turn up and go, oh, that was shit. And I was like, mate, I did 90% of everything.
Why?
That's why it's stressful for me to do your Eurovision.
Oh, right. I'm just saying you're obsessed with having a stroke. People having a stroke. No, I wasn't saying...
This runs in my family. I'm very concerned about it. And I don't know when lightning will strike me.
Well, stop smoking.
Pardon me.
Stop
smoking. I am
smoking.
Not taking health advice from you ever. Ever.
Doctors smoke and they know the health advice. A doctor who smokes 40 a day could still tell you you're unhealthy.
A scientist who believes in quantum theory can still go to speak to God on a Sunday, can't they?
Exactly.
Well, people are inconsistent, aren't they?
It's just stroke this, stroke that. Whenever anyone mumbles to having a stroke, anything that fucks up, having a stroke, it's your fucking go-to back pocket condition, having a fucking stroke.
Fine. Brain aneurysm will be the thing I do this year instead. All right, that's just as
aneurysm.
Likely. Happened to
my granddad.
I think that beats stroke.
Aneurysm beats stroke.
I don't know if there's a hierarchy to instant death.
It's just a good word, isn't it?
Aneurysm.
Also a great name for a punk band.
Yeah, there probably is one.
A Netflix drama.
I got the best name for a punk band, like Truth Decay.
Oh, that's nice. A good one.
But a sixth form band.
Yeah. Angsty. Good, isn't it? So, I don't know what you're going to do with it in the future. Maybe it'll escape into the universe at some point. We just don't know.
We just don't know.
Right now, it's a cosy little in-joke share between us and our fine listeners today. Mm. But I want to put the other track in that you recommended, Adoro.
Yeah. I think that's maybe as a preset on the keyboard. It sounds like it's a preset. It's sort of lovely. It's all about everything he adores. It's just saying, what do I adore? I think he says, is it beautiful women? One point,
Well,
or boats, or bridges.
There's shades of Nat King Cole to it. You know, there's shades of genuine love for things. It's just filtered through this angry character, much older than the guy.
Yeah,
who
but
put
this
it
is
together.
Probably the softest song on it. You know, the one with a bit of heart,
yes.
isn't it?
No, that
all
is.
The, but he also says he just doesn't know what he likes the best.
Because it's got shades of John Shuttleworth in there as well. It's got a bit of like that kind of comic strip vibe, the early comic strip live shows, that kind of, you know, 20th Century Coyote kind of thing going on. It's brilliant, but you know what it reminded me of? And we were talking about this when we spoke to Brian last year. Have you ever heard of Uncle Donkey?
Who?
Uncle Donkey. Okay.
No.
Let me see if I can find this. So this is another one of those examples of someone who has a passion for an art.
Who's Uncle Donkey?
And
Uncle Donkey?
Donkey. D-U-N-K-I-E. Unky Donkey.
Oh, okay.
And Unky Donkey, bit like Clifford, just had a passion and he wanted to make his own album. So he decided to make his own live...
Was he like 13 or...
No, he was a 60-year-old butcher from Queens.
Oh, okay, right.
In the 60s, I think 60s or 70s in America.
Yes.
And he decides to release his own stand-up album.
It's a famous outsider.
I'm going to play you a clip of it now. I'll edit it in, but I'm going to play you a clip because it's nightmarish. Because this guy is going for all the beats of being a stand-up, except he's laid it with sound.
I obviously want this.
It's Wednesday night, garbage night, and Mortimer Quirk, my clerk, is on the phone for an hour and a half, talking to his girlfriend, Vicky. They just had another fight, otherwise they would be talking in the hallway, more or less. She takes advantage of that poor kid something terrible. He's a real good kid, considering nowadays, if there is such a thing. I mean, he's so good, sometimes I can't figure out what he's good for. I know what she's good for. She treats him miserably, but he don't know that. He's miserably in love, and it's making me miserable, and I ain't even in love. She's too smart for him and herself. A real bitch, a bitch on wheels, and she don't need no roller skates either. Mortimer thinks the world is on the level. I don't know. Maybe the world is on the level. It's the people in it who are unbound. Like his cuckoo boy girlfriend. A real winner, if you know what I mean. And right now Mortimer is a real loser, if you know what I mean.
He's very broken. He's got a beat playing in his head.
I think so. And he's put all the sound effects in, all the audience. The laughter is non-stop through the whole album.
Oh, I want that. I definitely need that.
I mean, it's only a taster, but once
do
you get
know
into the weeds of
Captain Maurice Seddon?
No.
Oh, well.
Is this another outsider?
Oh, yeah. I think it is. So that for all listeners, the Seddon tapes, S-E-D-D-O-N,
God, it sounds
volume
like a
one by Captain Maurice Seddon. It's on Bandcamp. And from memory, it's a real eccentric who also spoke German. And it's his, he recorded all his phone calls. They weren't prank calls, and
oh,
he
right.
lost his temper all the time, and his sister hates him. There's a fantastic conversation between him and his sister, who hates him, and he's an incredible eccentric, and he recorded all his phone calls. I don't know where this project came from, how they got the phone calls, but it is a work of art, a brilliant Seddon.
We could go on because I could talk about the Rainbow tapes of Rainbow George.
No, I don't know them.
Okay. So Rainbow George was a guy who lived in Highgate and was best friends, quote unquote, with Peter Cook, and they lived next door to each other.
Oh, okay.
And when Peter Cook came over, he would just flip on a recording device and he would just capture.
Peter Cook would record it.
No, Rainbow George would record what was happening in his flat, and Peter Cook would come in and espouse whatever he wanted to anyone who was there.
Oh, I want that as well.
Yes,
I've uploaded, so we're just talking geekery now.
No, but it's, I listen
but
what
my
like.
Cousin, I'm mentioning again, when they were signed to EMI, at the end of 1 year gave them they took all their artists a tape of all the worst demos they'd been sent, and I've got that online on YouTube.
Ooh.
And there's absolutely...
I'd love that.
There's the best version of Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, dear.
The worst version you've ever heard by. Like, he sounds like he works in the city. Quite an older man who used to work in the city. Very, very straight, singing this song like that. Nothing compares. He goes, nothing compares to you.
Have you seen James Corden doing it, though, when he guested? He was called onto stage by Coldplay. Coldplay doing a gig.
Are you and he actually sing the worst thing in the world right now?
Is he singing it straight?
Yes.
Does
and
he
he's
cry?
Really
Does
giving
he
it some.
Does he, I bet he cries.
No, he's giving it
cry.
Some. He like cries. He's giving it like his, you know, oh, it's the most
was
painfully
in
insincere.
Was it in a car?
No.
No.
It was a Coldplay gig. And they're like, oh, we got a special.
There's
it's
nothing
James
special
Gordon.
About There's nothing
I'd
special
I'd be like,
about
I want my money back. I paid to see Coldplay. Not
I want any money
Did
I
Did they
spent
call
on
him on stage to play with
yes.
them?
That is... To sing Nothing Compares to You. Ooh, and he gives it a really.
I need to watch that one.
It's, and 15 days. He goes like that.
Oh,
you know what
no,
I mean?
I
gives
can't.
It a real. He really gives it the old.
It'd be good to see the video recreated with him doing it.
Just with that still face. And people all around the world just punching their TV screens
and
on their
family. It's a tear of blood that goes down.
What about this for a band name? Disco right. Disco band.
Yeah.
Clunge Trawlers de Creme.
To me, that sounds too European.
My friend's got the best Pretenders tribute band. Hindquarters.
That's yeah, good. It's pretty good. Right, so shall we move on and play The Price of Shite?
I want more about for my band name from you. Clunge Trawler de Creme.
I've got nothing. It's fine. It sounds slightly European.
That's why they're Euro Disco.
Euro Creme.
Exactly.
Oh, Euro Creme. Beautiful. Let's play The Price of Shite. I turn the recording on when I know you're being naughty. Turn your phone off. What's more important than this conversation with Robert Popper right now? You still looking at your phone right now? What's
nothing.
Going on?
Something's going to happen.
So what's going on? What mischief are you up to? What are you doing clutching your pearls like me nan? You're just doing this with your little...
Clutching my pearls,
you're clutching.
You.
It looks like you're clutching your pearls like me
I've
nan.
I've got
hearing
pearls
bad news
on.
About your dog. Can we crack on with The Price of Shite, please?
Yes.
We have to do... You're leading with the theme tune and I'm going to end it with the phrase.
Okay.
Ready? Go on. Three.
Oh.
No, I'll count you in.
I'll try and do it in the Clifford voice.
All right. Okay, yeah, please do. Three, two, one.
Oh, it's the fucking price of shite. It's the fucking price of shite. It's the fucking price of shite. Oh, it's the fucking price of shite. That's right.
Yeah, you were too northern.
You were too. I was too northern as
You're
well.
You were too northern.
That was the northern version.
To be fair, Clifford did also sound like me doing an impression of you singing like Zippy. Right, so what we do on The Price of Shite is that we bring a few items along and you just have to simply guess the price of the shite we've brought. And you'll be playing against Eli today for Betwings. Now, because Eli...
He's an expert.
He is the long-standing expert here. Yep. He is the Apollo Creed of Tat.
I like to think I'm the Paul Weller of the...
Yeah. What are you the Paul Weller of?
The crap father.
I'm the Tat father.
Thank
you.
Yeah, you win.
Write that down for the title of this week's episode. Put a dot in it. Right, so what we thought we'd do as well.
Put a dot in it.
Can we just please move on?
In the middle of the
put a, where are you putting the dot?
The
your mouth garbage!
It's a fucking umlaut! I'll put it wherever I like.
Paul, are you having a stroke?
I'm not having an aneurysm. An aneurysm, not an amurism.
An analism.
I'll have one of them. Right. Eli, would you like to explain the points and rules to this?
Right, are we going to play the standard rules?
Standard rules today. Although, actually, because these are more expensive items that were sourced from online...
We're going to go 50p
as well
way.
As charity. Yeah. We'll do 50p.
Okay,
we'll do 50p.
Sure. Points in this game are known as betwings.
Betwings, yep.
Betwings are points. Points are betwings. One point
very,
equals one betwing.
It's very simple.
All right, don't have a stroke.
He's getting his medication.
One day I hope I die recording this.
I know you do! I know you hope you die from a stroke. God.
During the recording, for two reasons. One, the shock value, the attention, and then you'll have to edit an episode for once. Continue with
the
points.
We, in turn, will take turns to guess the prices of these items.
Yeah.
If you manage to guess the exact price of an item...
Which I won't.
Sometimes it happens.
Oh. Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes it happens more often than you'd think.
Knock yourself down, mate.
Yeah.
All right.
There you get two betwings for that.
Oh, nice.
Double betwings.
Double betwings.
And then... If you're in a 50p 50p window either way of the price.
Above or below. Like, for instance, let's say the price is 50p.
That's either way does
you
include,
say nothing.
It includes
or
above
or
below.
Or pound. Then that's 25.
Either way. But the phrase either way.
Either way. Means above or below the actual
above,
price.
That, no, but you don't need the above or below. That's
you
a
sure?
tautology.
I'd like to clarify. Just no. Above is
also
valid.
Who's explaining the fucking rules,
who
Paul?
Is?
And is that one between?
Yes.
It's one between.
That's one between.
Right.
There we are. Now I'm ready.
And then we're on the board. No extra betwings to be had this time. Sometimes there's an overall betwing score.
I tell you what, I can throw in a Brucey bonus.
Bonus betwing.
Right, how about this? One item in these is a bit of an odd duck, bit of the odd one out, bit of a kind of, oh, that's a bit unusual. That stands out. If you can spot the standout item, two betwings.
All right.
All right.
Well, I just have to say that's the standout.
Yeah, that doesn't make
sense. Once you've seen all of them, you can then go, that one's the standout one. That one is out of place.
I'm excited.
All right.
I've seen some of these, and that's an easy two betwings.
And also, what we thought we'd do
is an actual horse's head that's just been recently severed, and that's just
and just placed on the bed delicately.
It's not that one.
Erotically
on the bed.
A metaphorical bed.
You're getting it from The Godfather, aren't you?
I never saw
it. As soon as he says horse's head, you thought Godfather.
What else?
You've never seen,
on
the bed. Godfather.
I haven't. I actually haven't seen Godfather.
Oh. You haven't seen The Godfather.
No, I haven't
Fuck
seen.
Off.
I also haven't seen. I don't know.
No,
the Ten Commandments. I haven't seen.
Nothing. There's no.
I haven't seen The Magnificent Ambersons. I haven't seen Alien 3. There's loads
there's
of
no
films
comparison.
I've never seen.
No, there
those
isn't actually.
None of those
when you
films.
Watch it, you know what you'll say. You'll say, oh, that was good. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's what you'll say.
I can say that
and
now.
And everyone will go, yeah, of course it is. Because
it's The Godfather.
It's Godfather.
I've seen two. And if you ask me, you don't need to see one once you've seen two, do you?
You are God.
It does a lot of the heavy lifting.
The time travel stuff.
Yeah. The sci-fi stuff that's in it is really good. I like the parallel universes.
In two.
In
two.
In one, in the time travel.
All the flashbacks to the time travel. Yeah.
When they go back 400 years, do you remember?
When Robert De Niro goes, Marty, you're going to come back to the future. The mafia is going to go bad. Something like that.
Yeah, you don't really need to see the first one.
Yeah, you don't. You can skip it.
Right, where's your crap then?
Right,
Jesus, thank you.
I've also tailored these items around your career. I found items that that represent the certain things you've done in your career.
And how
I just,
nice.
And
how
I
thoughtful.
And I wondered if you would, maybe you'll go, oh, I remember that.
I remember
So here's
that.
Some of the merch. Let's start with item number one.
Here we go.
Who's guessing the prize first? And are you going to write it down?
I haven't got a pen.
Oh, you're so useless with this.
Do you want a pen? I don't have a pen.
I...
Do you have a
pen? Of course I flipping well do. Do you want a...
I just want a pen.
Do you want Sharpie fine line?
Fine line.
Or permanent fine? Or
not
this
permanent.
This is beautiful. This is a ballpoint, and this has got a real smooth action.
I don't do ballpoints.
It's got a lovely... You will love this.
Nice,
it's got a lovely
pens,
smooth
yeah.
action.
All right, go on.
Have you seen these ones? Yeah, they're nice. So good.
Stop talking about...
That's yours now.
Right,
okay.
Right.
P.E.
I've only got...
Eli.
I forgot my shorts.
Right, shut
and
up.
My...
Shut up.
Here's the first item.
The gooch on these undies. Woo.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, look at this.
You can have a little look at that. What's that?
Oh, that is a Zig and Zag book.
It's
the
a Zig
Killer
and Zag book.
Original Annual from Outer Space.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is
now,
cool.
Now, a little birdie told me that back in the day you wrote material for Zig
I
and Zag.
I did write some material for Zig and Zag. And also, on Zig and Zag on the Big Breakfast,
yeah.
I met... Who did I meet? I was a big Wu-Tang Clan fan then. Obviously, why wouldn't you be?
Of course. Well,
and I met Old Dirty Bastard.
You met Old Dirty Bastard?
And he came on.
Really?
Yeah.
With the
and
Zig
I had
Zag?
A photo of him and lost it.
Ooh.
I mean, ugh.
I mean, AI it, could
with Zig and Zag.
How
me.
was old ODB in person?
I mean, to be honest, he was... Like off his
drug,
I mean,
adult.
he was
hugely
drug. He was
drug
blowing
adult.
His nose the whole time, and his eyes were watering. He's peculiar.
Off on
but
an
he
actual...
liked me because I said, oh, I like your music. And, oh yeah, as if do you? And I went, yeah, I love the track Snakes. And he went, oh, Snakes, like a quite obscure one. Right. So I was in there,
what,
and then I got
solos,
a photo
from his solo
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Snakes.
Oh, you saw you dropped a kind of deep cut.
I did
to show how.
And
you...
then I got a photo with him, which I lost.
He was probably off on a natural charge Bon Voyage.
Exactly.
It was the same
very
when
good.
I met Lee Scratch Perry. Perry
Ooh,
once.
Nice.
Lee Scratch Perry.
I nearly said Perry. I know.
Oh, what
wait,
would be
wait,
the mashup?
I forgot Method Man was there as well.
Oh, he's a great rapper.
He was cool.
Thanks for moving that.
And
on.
He was more together, was he?
He was together. Yeah.
I mean, ODB was he
was brilliant though.
He was a real genius rapper. Real genius.
He kind of liked the ladies a bit too much.
It was definitely a
vibe in the room
it wasn't,
when the ladies went in.
It was one of those things, because you hear about Biggie Smalls, for example, and he has this whole persona when he raps. He sort of tells these stories of like crime.
Yeah, he
and,
was brilliant.
But he wasn't really like that. He wasn't a gangster
was
in real life.
He was a choir master.
He wasn't a choir master, but he wasn't. He was just
he was. No, he was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was.
All right.
Right.
Oh, a literal
have I got
one.
To say how
but
much
But with
says...
ODB, just yeah. to finish this point, ODB, no, yeah. he seemed to be living it, you know.
He was definitely living it yeah. all the time.
Well, that's the only reason why I brought up Lee Scratch, because when I was...
Lee
when
Scratch,
he came, Scratch. Because we're familiar. And I can't, I'm afraid now of saying his surname, was that he came to the company I was working at the time, and he was, the whole time he was there, in another place.
Oh,
mentally,
nice.
Mentally, just clouded.
He's the kind of George Clinton of... Dub, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Right, so how much is the Zig and Zag annual with its witty cartoons?
I'm
going to
say
stuff?
Exactly £2.
£2.
Where did you get it from?
This the one, expert question.
This one I got from a Muswell Hill charity shop. I can't okay. remember which, but I think it was Mind.
So it was a secondhand charity shop item.
This one was, yes, was.
I bid too much, but go on, you'll go now.
Now we're going to 50p either way, are we?
Yes.
For the points.
Yes, I'm not giving
what
you a
they,
ceiling.
What are they, Dragnuts? What is it again you get?
Dragnuts.
Dragnuts. What is it you get?
Petwings.
I'd like them to be Dragnuts this
you
week.
You can't change it just because he says it.
I want that.
Dragnuts. Make Dragnuts a different thing.
Petwings. Okay. What do you reckon?
I think I'm gonna say £1.50 to play.
You know, 50. I think you might be right. Okay. It looks like a £1.50 thing. I mean, it was £4.99 originally.
And, you know, I presume you didn't write anything for that.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that.
They're still making annuals. I saw, like, a Family Guy annual.
Oh, I was going to say Zig and Zag annuals.
They might be. They're still active online, Zig and Zag.
You know what? What differentiated Zig from Zag, character-wise?
That was Zig, wasn't it? And that was I can't even remember which was which.
Well, he was.
I
the
was
one,
only there 3 months.
He was the one that spoke like this, I think.
That's
and,
pretty good.
And the other one was more like hey, that one.
That's a pretty good
it's
impression.
Not bad.
No, I'd actually say rusty. That was good. That was a 7 out of 10.
I think basically the Zig was the kind of down to earth cool one, and Zag was the geeky
I
hyperactive one.
I literally can't
one.
Remember.
Okay,
but go on.
Can we move on to item number 2?
Oh, you don't. You do it at the end.
I said 150. I've written it
yes.
down.
Yeah? Oh, right, we're doing them in. Yep.
We're going to do it one at a time.
Then I get to go. I need to guess first for this. So
yeah,
it's,
okay,
it's
you
fairness.
Do need to. Yep.
Right, next one.
Here we go. Scrabble, scrabble, scrabble.
Right, next one. There you go. What's that?
Another. I mean, I worked there for maybe 2-3 months. It's another Zig and Zag. This is brilliant. Single. What's it called? Them Girls.
And it's a banger. I don't. I know novelty songs because we love our novelty songs.
Was it
on this
kind
podcast.
Of ragga?
Yes.
Yes.
Very much in the sort of ragga.
Dub.
Not dub.
No,
dub,
it was
bum,
a
ragga commercial dance.
Yeah.
It was very much a mix.
Yes.
With the ragga vocal, but the beat being very much like SL2. You know, SL2 or what was that one? Me like to. I like to move it.
Oh,
move
yeah. It was more that.
The Venga Boys.
It was a bit of that.
Yeah. Out There Brothers.
Yeah.
Out There Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right, okay.
And
you're guessing first.
Yeah, you're guessing first. Now, they also released a second single, didn't they? And it was
is that your next thing? You know?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
I hope it is.
Foolish.
I actually think the production's really good on this record.
It is.
The way it goes boom.
Boom. The crowd go boom. And they shake it, they wreck it, the room go boom.
Yeah, wow, just, boom, you really remember
it? It's
that.
It's got a big sound.
Yeah.
And also, it reminds me of that advert where they go, cheese strings to girls demo want. It was a cheese strings ad.
Well, I'm going to gather, yeah. Just based on the clues you dropped.
It reminds me of that Cheese Strings advert music.
Yeah.
Demo Girls. That's the
yeah.
Cheese Strings, Demo Girls, Demo Want.
We can move
How
on.
How much is it?
How much is the single
What's this? Where was this purchased?
I don't know. Actually, you got this one and gave it to me. So actually, you should know the answer
yeah,
to this.
You should remember that.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Whatever you say is going to be the
Where
right answer.
Where was it purchased? Do you not remember?
Oh, no. I buy about 18 7-inch singles every week on average.
His flat is a fire hazard. It's genuinely a problem.
What about my ball sack? How dirty is it, Paul?
Drag nuts, mate. absolute drag nuts.
What, there's bits of fluff off the carpet?
A bit of the welcome from the word welcome on the welcome mat has caught itself upon you, so now the balls just say well. I don't know.
Back
I
to your bronze
know.
Again.
Yeah. Ooh, tin.
Copper alloy.
Yeah.
Copper alloy.
Copper alloy?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to say 50p in that case.
50p.
And that's the right answer.
Well, you bought it, you would know. That doesn't count, surely.
Well, if you match him, you both get up a twing. This is.
I mean, you know it was 50p. Do you know it was 50p?
He's just admitted, though. He's admitted that whatever I say is going to be the answer. So you can get a between.
I mean, I would
you
say, I'm going to say 49p.
Oof,
you can get two betwings. You've just, you're assuming.
I mean, should I be saying 50p?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say 50p.
Yeah, the problem is I have now written down 49p. Oh,
well. Well, you don't remember. It might have been 49p. It could be.
I mean, we don't
no,
know.
No, he judge doesn't know. But the point is, I'm saying he doesn't know. He's
so
just going to take it from me.
Yeah.
Actually,
but
I'm going to change mine to 49p. That is how magnanimous I am.
I'm going to go back to 50p.
You can.
I've written it down.
You can. You can use that beautiful pen to cross it out and put 49p.
I can't be done.
Whatever.
I can't be done. Next item.
Here we go.
There you go. What's that?
I love it. That is fucking amazing. That is a model of Margaret Thatcher.
Mint in box.
At the Tory party conference.
It's wonderful to be here. Do you know, I really enjoy this podcast.
You could stick a wig on that and that would be Margaret Thatcher.
I'm telling you. It is. It's Zig. That's Zig, isn't it?
It's Zig.
That's Zig from Zig Zag.
It's a plushy Zig.
With little sort of Converse-y red boots on.
Yeah.
And
this was the most expensive thing I bought,
by
the way.
That is pretty cool. He's got a little pom-pom.
He's got a little
things.
Pom. And actually, here's a puppet. You can put your hand into his head and make his mouth go up and down and stuff.
That is great.
That is good, yes. I'll do Margaret Thatcher again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on. It is absolutely wonderful to be here. I'm not alive anymore. Goodbye.
Oh, poor Margaret.
Yeah.
Came through that doll just to say goodbye.
First. Did you buy this?
No, I did not.
I got all of these. This one I got from eBay.
This?
It is your turn to guess first.
Discounted. Now, this
I mean,
was...
Where you got it from eBay?
eBay. On a discount, but still quite expensive. The most expensive thing I bought today.
He looks like he's attending Glastonbury Festival with those trousers.
I'm going to say... I don't know. I'm going to get it all wrong. I mean, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's in
that
good
is,
condition.
That is a... What
no,
that? Like
obvious
19,
stains.
And when is it? 1991? 1996 or something.
I was going to say.
Is this charity shop as well, though?
No, this was eBay. I'm saying this is the most expensive thing I got. And this is one.
I'm going to say... Oh, Jesus God. £15.
Oh, £15. I don't know why I've put P
I definitely
there.
Think you're in the right ballpark there, so to speak.
Mr. Silverman, would you like to give it your own evaluation
I'm
before
going
making
to give
the
it
price?
One. Yeah? I'm going to give it
domes.
One right now.
Domes.
What did you say the hole was in the back? Yeah.
Don't.
What?
Please don't do.
What?
Don't infer.
Don't infer what?
Don't infer what I know you're about to
I'm
infer.
I'm not inferring anything.
About what
I'm going
to
give it one now.
No, I don't want this. I don't want this to happen like this. This isn't what I wanted.
£12.
Oh. £12, thank you.
£12.50. Can I say £12.50?
I'm going to win this.
Right.
This one I'm going to win.
You think?
Yeah.
Right, on to the next item.
Could it be
now,
something from Zig and Zag?
Now,
no, I know, because the one thing will be the
one
thing.
But I don't know which it will be.
No, we don't know.
I don't know.
You have no idea.
It might come at any time, or it might have already come out.
Yeah. How many items in total are we doing?
Two more.
Okay.
What's this?
The odd one out.
No, what gives that away?
Is Libel Traveller by William Roach.
Yes.
This is a... What is this? Is this a game?
This is a board game. A travel version of the board game.
And I worked with William Roach.
Did you?
I was his understudy on Coronation Street.
Is this a fact?
No. What, it's a game...
Understudy?
What?
What, did they do Coronation Street live?
No, yes. Actually,
was it a live stage
someone
show?
Someone I know quite well, doesn't work in TV, said to me... I was at some party about 2 years ago. He said... Oh, love Friday night dinner. Oh, thank you very much. I haven't seen you for a year. So, can I see one question you ask? Is it live? Sorry, what do you mean? Is it live? The program, is it live? Yeah, is it live? Well, no. Isn't it live? I thought it was live. How would it be live? I mean, they're in the house and they're in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just thought it's live. I just thought it was all live. My evaluation of her brain went down.
Yeah,
quite considerably.
300%. So this is a legal game, libel
No,
traveller.
So effectively what happened is in the 90s, William
I thought
Roach...
there might be a nice chocolate bar in there
oh,
called
no.
Libel Traveller.
It's a board game made out of spite, because in the 90s he sued the Sun with regards to something that they said about his private life. And the whole process was so traumatizing, he turned it into a board game, and this is the board game he invented.
And was it a big seller? No.
No.
I can just imagine him getting really... He was Ken, wasn't he? Ken Barlow, getting really, really driving his family insane about this, getting this game made.
I'll fucking
and
show
the
them.
The typeset is wrong.
I'll fucking show them.
It is a weird looking open.
Yeah, sure. We were out and about somewhere and we saw the full size version of this. And then you decided not to buy it.
It's basically a game.
It's quite grotty.
It's a bit. It's one of those card games where you go around.
Cards that say perjury.
Yeah.
Libel. The judge is amused at your barrister's joke. Move 4-3 squares.
So
new evidence comes to light. You are the murderer. You move an opponent's. Oh my God.
It's a weird card building game. Yeah, basically. Yeah. You go around a board building cards, and you've also got to build your defence team. So you've got to get a barrister,
a witness.
You've got
to build a shrine of Ken Roach.
And then you've got to remember all the details of the crime under cross-examination. It is a tedious, boring game of swapping cards.
Kids love it.
But I love the fact that it was born out of spite just because the Sun and him had a bit of a barney.
Amazing. Did you get that from not eBay?
No, this is a charity shop item.
You saw that and thought, what is that?
Charity shop item, can I ask?
Not many board games are made by soap operas with a grudge to hold against their newspaper.
Where did you buy it?
This was in, I think this is like Pinner. There's a Pinner charity shop that has the craziest shit, and this turned up.
It's great for charity shops, Pinner.
It's St. Luke's, I think, that one, and that one.
Is that gold there?
I bought this Garfield-themed birthday mug, and it is indestructible. From the 80s. It doesn't chip. It's so colourful. It's so good.
What's not to like?
What's not to like?
I had a giant Garfield when I was younger. Massive one.
Really?
Yeah. Got Garfield somewhere.
Garfield, wow.
He's back, baby.
My dad still likes Garfield. He will read.
He's evergreen, isn't he?
I guess he is. So this is £1.50 then.
Yes, it was £1.50
then. Whenever that was.
But what's the price I got it for?
It's me first. Yes,
oh, yes. Yeah. It is.
You can calibrate.
Here, take it.
You can calibrate via...
I can't imagine it's a lot of money.
Not really.
What? Mambi Games.
Yes. Yeah. We've all heard of Mambi Games.
Yeah. We have not.
Absolutely not.
Mint on card.
It's very mint. And it's
you know what? You've left the price on this.
No, that's not the right price.
That's not the old price, isn't it?
That's not the one I
so
got
that's
it for.
The store price.
The 150 one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the right one.
Well, it's still giving me clues, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? That's what you do, though, isn't it?
You had a stroke or something, Paul.
No, but I'm about to have a fucking aneurysm.
Why not?
Funnily enough.
Come on, give me a price before I just dig a bigger hole for myself.
Mambi.
Oh.
That knockoff Disney film. Come on, quick. You're
Mambi.
Not giving me... I'm just going to keep on talking shit unless you give me a price.
I will say 75p.
Ooh. 75p.
I'm going half. I'm going
right
half the price there.
You're
75p.
Right.
Therefore, Mr. Popper.
£1.25.
Okay.
There we are.
Sorry, so how much
first
did you say? How much did you say? Sorry.
£1.25.
£1.25. Perfect. On to our final item before the scores are revealed.
It's a zig and zag calendar.
No, that's ridiculous. What's that?
Oh, it's that game.
It's a zig and zag board game.
Dips, lemons, and utter deck chairs.
That's
it's
lovely.
Four completely mad in the head stunt game. Good colours, yeah?
It's good
colours. Pink. I mean, yeah, it's all sort of, it looks like the Sherbet Dip Dab type colours. Well, pink.
Yes.
Those candy colours.
Yeah.
There's nice, fresh, sweet, sugary candy colours.
And what is it? What is the game?
It's a kind of game of dare where you've got to move around the board, but there are challenges.
And there's a knife that comes with it, a sharp knife.
There's a knife in there, syringes.
Yep, there's a syringe and a knife.
Cocaine. Yeah. And a bit upscales.
And a file of plasma. Wow, that's pretty good, yeah.
It's very elaborate. You have to build this whole kind of a hoop-throwing thing to pick what dare you do.
Right.
And
it says you can
do all these kind of dares.
I love the aesthetic on
this
that.
This is something we might play for the Patreon pod.
That's another Paul LeMond one.
That is
Paul
good.
LeMond, yeah. Paul LeMond
does all the TV tie-in board games, Paul LeMond.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Nearly any time we have a board game based on a sitcom, which we get a lot of
on this
podcast.
Oh, well, they tried to make one for Friday Night Dinner, and I was like, I can't remember what it was, but it was... the worst design thing ever.
Right.
And it's like, no, please don't do that.
Because
they have to ask your permission.
Sure.
Yeah.
Me and the company, whatever, and we were like, I wish I had that on my phone somewhere. That was...
But do you get a say, or do they say, here's our idea for it, and you say no or yes, or do you get some...
Well, I just didn't really want a game based on
it. No, fair
enough. And it was a shit game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is, like, every now and then you'll see a Mrs. Brown's
boring game.
And it is just like move around the board, collect things, and say shitty jokes. But it's a long trend that we've had. Like what we have.
Well, so has there been a good one?
Yes. What was that one we played? That was actually Gladiators. Was
who's
quite
this?
Fun. What?
Who's that there?
What do you mean? Who's
where?
That
who's
there?
Who's that? Where?
There.
That's Zag.
That's Zag. That's the one there.
Where's his words over there? Mm. It's got no purple spell.
He's got little green bits near his eyes.
He's got
and his
no
cheeks.
Green bits.
Oh, I see now, yes.
Yeah, it's quite an elaborate
drawing.
Have
I got to go first with this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do. And this was not as expensive as the doll, but certainly the second most expensive thing on the list.
Where did you get this from?
This was a charity shop find. This is what inspired the whole collection.
Ooh.
So once I got this, once I popped, I couldn't stop.
I'm going to say, I can't think if it's £8 or £12. I'm going to say £8.
£8. Eli, what do you say? No, no rush, mate. It's all good. We've got plenty of
time
here.
Fine, good. I'll take a few more
moments.
It's
gold radio, isn't it, this?
Yes, come on. I mean, I can cut this down, but I'd rather not, you know. I like, you know, just take your time, mate.
Okay, I will.
Just have the little clock.
Robert said eight. Are you going
to... I'm going to think about it for a second.
You're going to have this little thing. You're going to pad this out. I mean, we've only got the place for another hour, so I'm just wondering, really at this point what you're going to bring to the
podcast. Well, if you could stop talking for a second.
I mean, I'm only going to stop talking once you give me a price. Until then,
I can't shoot.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to move on at some point.
I can't wedge it in.
Well, I'm going to have to wedge it in a little bit, aren't you?
I'm going to have to fold it over.
You're going to have to drag it into... Yeah. Why don't you get John Sims to help you out with it? Come on.
John Sims. I'm going to say a bit more, I think. So I'm going to say 12.
£12.
You're going to go for the 12, yeah.
Pounds. Well, then after this little break, I shall reveal who is the king of tat and has won this week's Price of Shite. Oh, it's exciting. You have anything to add?
No.
It was like the little look you gave me. A little look of derision.
I've got a little smile in my eye because you're so terrible at stuff.
Thank you very much. My long-serving and much trusted...
Serving? Fuck off!
Right, I should have just stopped this
you
a minute
should.
Ago. I should have. It's time for the prices of the shices, all right?
Did we get to guess which the odd one out was?
Yes. Do you want to have a guess
there was
right
one,
now?
Now, I think you can both...
Was it a zig and zag jigsaw? Because the others weren't jigs. Could it have been that? I don't think it was the Coronation
the board
Street
game.
Libel.
One of these had no connection to your career, apparently.
Well, William, what's his name again?
William Roach.
William Roach.
You were an understudy for him.
Voiced Zag, not Zig.
Oh, that is true. Yes.
No,
he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And who
I'm
did the
actually
other voice?
I'm going to say that is the odd one out.
Hilda Ogden.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah, Mahatma Gandhi did the voice of Zig and Zag, Mr. Silverman.
Who did the other voice?
Just want to pick libel. Just pick libel.
Oh, God. Was it Paul Weller?
Yes, it was Paul Weller. In the ballroom with the candlestick.
They're mods.
Give
they're
me
mods. They
all
love
me.
Love me.
Okay, that's the odd one out, obviously.
Yes, it is. You both get two betwings for that. So I'm going to put those right at the top of the board here now.
This is going to be a betwing fest.
Actually, Eli, can you go upstairs and grab something for me?
Sure.
Can you go and grab that now for me, please?
Sure.
Sorry. Just take. I'll carry on the scores. Because
is
I've
this
just...
a mysterious
what?
Thing he's
no.
getting?
Oh. I'm not doing anything mysterious. Okay. Why would we do that to a well-respected guest like
bringing my mother
like
down or something.
Leave his mother upstairs. He's rumbled it.
Just as a Zig.
Yeah, we've got a little surprise
just
for
as
you.
The producer of Zig and Zag. Oh.
Just the producer, but so many things were brought to us. So many joys were brought to us via Zig and Zag. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The joy that they bring, the ongoing joy they bring is something that you've been
they
a part
good.
Of.
They were funny.
And they're still on Twitter talking.
Well,
they're still
the guy's doing
matting
them
about.
Great.
Yeah. One day maybe they'll return. Maybe they'll be...
Maybe they will with another single.
The Rolling Rat.
What's it called? Them Girls. Them Boys.
Them Boys.
B-O-I-S.
Yeah. So look, listen, we thought you were here today to do a podcast.
Yep.
But unfortunately not.
Oh, what
today we're doing a little mini This Is Your Life.
Bum, bum,
and
bum,
so
bum.
I just want to... First of all, we've got a message from this guy. I'm just going to see if you recognise this voice. Here we go. Let me
Adolf
turn this
Hitler.
On.
Hello, it's me. I'm sending you this as a voice message. I hope that's okay. You can cut out this bit of preamble. There you go. I hope this is all right, sending it like this. Right, I'm going to do it now. Hello, Robert. I'm not very well. You gave me my big break in television. I don't know, probably about like 25 years ago. That's how old I am now. You were the first person who ever told me that my writing was anything other than absurdist nonsense. And for that, I thank you. And also, you recommended me to the producer of Sooty. And the rest is history. Okay, hope you're well. Love you, bye.
John Cleese.
It's John Cleese leaving a message.
It was now, Mr. Paul Rose.
Rose Biffo. Now, he couldn't be here. Because he's ill and also lazy.
And he's brilliant.
He is brilliant.
And he sent the funniest scripts maybe that I've ever been sent out of from someone I didn't know called We Two Vets that he wrote with Mr. Tim Moore. Brilliant, yeah.
Sorry, yes. What?
What's going on?
It's all gone weird in here. Something's about to happen.
Is he here?
Yeah.
Oh, all who's right. that?
Let bring him in, I'll do the voice.
Is it my dad?
See if you recognise, do you recognise this voice?
Enjoy the crust.
I don't need to, I can see him walking in.
Oh, wait, the voice man. Clip isn't working.
No, you don't need it. It's Paul Putner, who I love. And
Biffo was in as well.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to I've got to play this bloody clip.
Don't right. play it.
Enjoy
you could do the voice. You did it.
Hey, take
enjoy
have
the
seat.
Crust.
Have this seat.
All oh, right.
What are you?
Eamon Andrews, it never happened to him like this, did it?
He I don't know.
Professional.
Yes, what no, you, we didn't have the big red book this
what,
time.
What are you doing here?
Well, we invite him along. That's literally it.
I love Paul Putner. You love me as well.
Yeah,
Cheap Show loves Paul Putner as well.
I love him.
Cheap Show loves Paul Putner.
No, I thought...
No, I love Paul Putner.
Look, I heard like you were doing an interview. And
you've
I thought, how, door do open, I, by the way. How do I tread on Robert's toes?
How can I... And, you've always tried to
and
diminish me.
Muscle into his spotlight. Paul just said you were going on, then invited me to pop in.
I thought it would be lovely.
It is lovely.
That's all. I just thought it would be lovely.
Someone I know.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right.
We can just
What
let
are
them.
You doing?
We can leave them too.
What are you doing? Where have you been?
I haven't seen you for ages. I sat on my reading glasses on the underground.
Oh, no.
Just now?
Yes. So that's why I was to the absolute skin.
Did you get
skin
glass in arse?
No, not too bad.
So you, not, you what can you can thing. You can you not read at all without them?
No, it is frightening actually. Just I had to hold a not even at arm's length the newspaper.
What, you have to paste it on the wall.
Yeah, literally. I just you realise I've just had a cataract operation.
Put in.
Cataracts put in.
Can you get that on the NHS?
Yeah. So no, and they
wait. Do they put you asleep when they do it, or do you see like a knife come towards your eye?
Yeah. Literally.
Serious.
Yeah. Well, no, they lift up the old meniscus, move the iris, stick a plastic lens in there, and but I've been short-sighted since, well, from the beginning.
The beginning?
From the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
And, well, you mean when you came out your mother, you just went, Dad?
I can't see.
I
need some National Health tortoise shell prescription.
So after your cataracts were put in, can you see better?
Well, I don't have to wear glasses anymore, apart from bloody reading glasses.
Bloody
I think
reading.
You look sexy with the glasses, though.
Yeah. Where are they?
More dishy.
Oh, right.
Did you put them in the bin?
You put them in the bin?
No, I've got it. I was holding it so I could read the direct...
Oh, like a kind of... Like a pince-nez or whatever it is. Whatever they call them.
trying to read your text.
That is quite sorrowful, isn't it? An image.
It's pathetic.
On the tube doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an eccentric, yeah.
Yes.
So, Paul, I'll tell you what. Paul, we're just going to wrap up the price of shite. So you're here for the scores.
Okay.
Oh.
Because we've had
Jesus, where you do your song, your little sum-up song.
Yes. Yeah, we brought you in for the song and dance ending of this show, so I presume you brought your top hat and cane.
Yeah, bib and tucker.
You've been doing lots of Zig and Zag stuff today. Have you ever worked with Zig and Zag?
No,
I
never.
I once worked with Zig and Zag, so all the items...
was the best I could think of!
It's good. Right. It was
so
very
good. Here are the scores. Right. So the first item was the annual, the Zig and Zag
annual.
Zig and Zag,
which is over there.
Eli, you said £1.50.
I did.
Robert said £2. The answer is £2. So Robert gets two bazingas.
I get two bazingas.
On the nose.
And one for you.
And that's because I'm...
What is it? I get what? 600 quid?
No, you don't get... There's no money. There's no... There's never any money with this
Everything
show.
Everything is 600
Cheap
quid.
Show.
Yes.
Cheap show.
It's contractually built into our title. Right.
Very well done.
Very
Thank
well
you.
Done.
That could seal it.
Well played.
You just don't know. Here's the next one, which was the single.
Which you bought and you knew was.
Which we was.
It was
50. You don't know what it. How much it
and
was.
And you don't
do
know
you?
How much it was, do you?
Well, this. No, I don't. This is why it's a stupid thing to put, isn't it? No one knows, and it's just you just doing it arbitrarily. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just a joke about Zig and Zag, which I only worked on for a little while. Oh, fuck it. Just put it in. It's a Zig and Zag thing. And it undermines the structural integrity of the bit. And just cross that out. No betwings. Just you failing. That's all that is. Thank you.
Yeah.
No betwings.
The bit
there.
Has no integrity.
Just yes, think, I just think bit. You could have put that more politely. Should have been a bit more respectful in front of these guests. I just think you've embarrassed me again.
You've told me
not to
fucking have not it. To be professional.
I fucking, you know what? One day you're going to get it. I'm going to fucking give you it.
The promises, promises.
I'm going to make sure no one finds you.
I wish you weren't this close.
We're showing a mic, everybody, by the way. I'm going to kill you. I'm just going to make it blunt. I'm going to kill you. I'll edit this out, but I'm going to kill you.
Good.
In real life. IRL death. Right.
Fine.
Next one was the Zig and Zag Dolly. The puppet Dolly.
That's pretty good, that one.
Oh, that's going to be pricey. I would
yes, pricey. That was the most expensive item.
Well, now, this was an eBay purchase, but there was a discount off the original price because it had been in my waiting wish list for so long.
I don't that need they to get know. A discount. Again, we don't need
it's
to know.
Just every now and then, if you put...
Oh, is it an eBay... No, oh, it's Paul eBay Gannon, tip. eBay expert.
Every fucking now and then, this podcast at least needs to provide some kind of service, right? So here's my eBay tip.
No
like
one uses eBay anymore.
I use it all the time. If you go on eBay and you like something, add it to your wish list or your whatever it is.
And you might get a discount.
And then after about a week or so, they'll go, oh, the buyer's still saying that, selling this. Would you like a discount? Then you say yes, and then you buy it. And then you pay £800 for delivery from America.
Illuminating, honestly. Wow.
Just saying.
Well, I'll be on my way now, Rob, so...
Oh, mate, are you... yeah. I didn't know you still were here.
Oh, right, yeah.
But you could get amended and come back.
Yeah. Right. You said £15, Robert, for the board game.
I did.
Eli said £12.50. The price was £12.
Ooh! Ooh.
So that is one per-twing, but no per-twings for Mr. Popper.
Ooh, that's...
Next, the penultimate item was the William Roach invented board game Libel. The board game
so
invented by Coronation Street star because he had a bit of a Barney with the Sun.
£180.
I know. If only they saw the value in it, I did.
I like the way they've used his sort of headshot, his actor's headshot for the back.
He's really proud
value.
Of this.
It always adds a certain sort of...
I remember him promoting it on a...
You remember this?
Really,
I remember promoting it on the Steve Wright... When Steve Wright had a television show.
Oh, man.
In the mid-90s.
Yeah. We had a crack at it back then, like James Well had his...
Yeah.
We wanted to do... because we've covered a lot of Steve Wright's
musical output.
Mm.
Which there's a lot of.
On this podcast. So we wanted to do a little tribute.
Tributary.
Because I'm a mate. I'm not going to pick you up on that and point it out in front of more famous people.
A little tribute to Mr. Wright. Are we going to do that still?
Yeah, we will. We'll do a rundown. We're going to do a rundown of all the singles he released as his name or under a pseudonym.
He put a lot of novelty records out which didn't have his name on.
Arnie
and the Terminators. Remember that?
I'll be back.
Except it's like Impressionist hadn't managed to get that Arnie. Thing. They didn't used to do that when he first came out.
They just did
a sort of generic German accent, didn't they?
And what was his? Was his good?
No.
Or was it a generic?
I think it was one of his crew who did
it. Very bad. You didn't have any of the ow, 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 ow. That's the it's one noise for Arnie. The universal Arnie impression noise. Ow, ow,
ow. Being this close to the microphone and making Arnie noises. Stop it. I hate the fact that you exist.
I hate being near you.
Good. Anyway, you said this was 75p, Mr. Silverman. Robert said £1.25. The actual price was... 75p. Man. Eli's just knocking it out.
I can't believe
it. Did you buy it?
No. But nothing for Mr. Robert there.
Oh, dear.
A final item was the Zig and Zag board game, which is floating about somewhere.
Hang on, what's Ken Barlow got to do with Zig and Zag?
That was
That was the mystery item. What item
stands
out? What item stands out? And I guess correctly that it was that one, not the Zig and Zag ones. That's pretty good.
Very astute observation.
Yeah, thank you. It was hard.
Wise beyond your years. Right, we have, you said £12 for the board game.
I said £8.
Oh, yeah, £8 for the board game.
I know I'm going to get
this
wrong.
Eli said £12.
He's going to win.
It was £5.
Close, but no cigar there.
So at the end this year's price of shite, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 points to Mr. Popper, and Eli gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 per twings.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, everyone.
And Paul, if you'd like to do your little song summing
up. The Mr. Putner song.
No, I haven't got anything.
No,
rehearsed.
No one's leaving. Just vibe it.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yes. Yeah.
Not Josie
in
Lawrence.
The style
yes,
of...
you are.
I can't do that.
It's the hoedown round. You've got to do the hoedown.
Oh, I hated that.
She used to do marching songs, didn't she?
Yes, she so did, didn't she?
Yeah. It was like a cowgirl song.
And we all laughed because Stephen Fry could never rap, could he?
But Hugh Laurie is a musician.
Oh, yes, he is.
He played, does he play the guitar? Does he play the banjo? Does he play the ukulele? Or does he play the guitar?
Piano.
No, none of those. None of those.
Yeah. I imagine he's a bit of a multi-instrumentalist.
And is his music good or is it
bad? Yeah, very good. When House was huge, he released a blues and soul piano album.
Well, that's very much in a different genre to House then. When House was huge, it's a big genre. Yes,
techno it'd be weird as well. Actually, if Hugh Laurie had done a
he did a blues thing with House.
Done a House album. That would be weird.
Yeah.
That's what he should have fucking done.
Seminal House
album. Presents House.
House presents House. No, you know what? I agree. Yes. They should have done that in a house.
In Hugh Laurie's house.
We need to formulate a way to end this episode at some point.
So, let's do it now. Goodbye. Thanks, everyone.
One minute. Like Paul Partner's come all the Paul way. He's broken his glasses.
We're going to end this bit and then we'll start the next bit.
Haven't we got music or something?
What? No.
Okay.
Let me just stop this bit and then we'll do a nice wrap up. We can have a nice leisurely chat while our time.
Paul, are you interested in outsider music? Strange, hilarious outsider music. Because the bit that you missed, Robert brought a whole album. By a guy called Clifford.
Have I played you? Yeah. Jumping Horses, or have you played?
No, I don't think. It's amazing. I do like outsider music.
Yes, honestly, this is chef's kiss. It is honestly some of the best outsider music I've ever heard. And it's not widely known.
Right.
And it's just an album. It's not.
Just Clifford.
Well, he's got a last name, but I'm not saying his last name. He was 13 when he made it, in like 1990, my friend's cousin.
Oh, I see. He made his own album in his bedroom.
And it's.
Does this have a little bit of Jumping Horses?
Because people might Google it and ruin his life.
I mean, I met him. He didn't seem to care, but I just thought, Jumping horses.
A bit doleful. Yeah.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Well, musically, it's not a million miles away from John Fox or, you know, one of those very early 80s...
He was more electronic, wasn't he?
Sounded quite electronic.
That's what I was saying. It's Burning not... Car or something.
No, it was Underpass...
Underpass.
Yeah, I used to remember...
Yes.
Echoes in Rome...
Yes, there was a motorway sort of theme to those.
Yeah, I think
they
were B-side was something about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you want to investigate more of that album?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'll send you it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It feels like contraband now at this point.
It's great.
Sort of like,
you'll love it.
Yeah,
you'll love it. Headphones in bed.
Yeah.
We were listening to it, me and my partner, last night while we were playing board games.
Funny, like awesome.
Well, here's the thing. We were playing this... I think we were playing Michael McIntyre's The Wheel, the board game. Right.
You're obsessed.
I am obsessed. My storage is nothing but board games.
No, I mean, you're obsessed with that game.
Not with that game. It's just easy to play on a Saturday night. Well, because it was an easy Saturday night board game. You spin it and answer fucking topical questions or whatever.
So you hate it?
No, the point is...
You hate that game. Yes. You hate that board game. That's why you played it twice.
Yes, I hate that board game because we played it twice.
Fucking
do you want
to
make me move on?
Shit game that you hate.
Is that we were playing and having this on in the background, and at a certain point, my partner just went, I can't fucking take this, and stormed out. She thought I was using some kind of like psych tactics to like get inside her head. Yeah, it felt like that. So I promised to turn it off and we could finish the game in peace.
You can't do two things at the same. You can't do another thing while you listen to it.
No,
you
really can't. It demands your attention. No. It draws you in.
That's why it's a classic.
It is. And,
and has sold no copies.
You know what the thing we should send to Robert is? The Derek tapes.
Derek.
Derek tapes.
Actually, Derek's voice is a bit similar, isn't it?
It is. It's quite. So Derek, long story short version, was this old guy. He was the uncle of one of our listeners, and this guy sent in a cassette. Oh. And what Derek did, Uncle Derek, was he would record largely improvised stories for kids to enjoy on a cassette tape. Yep.
For his nephews.
Yeah. And then the mother heard them and took the cassette away because she thought they weren't appropriate.
Right.
And so it's this old man. He's literally got a voice like, hello. So,
oh, and I want this.
And the first one was called The Brookside Tiger.
Well, we've
about
done,
the mysterious death of a tiger and Viagra.
Four episodes where we listen and commentate.
Oh, yeah.
But I can certainly send you the raw because...
Oh, send me the raw.
They're fascinating dives into a man's head.
Paul?
Yes.
On a side note here.
Yes. I like this.
No, I don't like this.
It's nice.
You know what this makes me feel like?
Kissing.
No, like Mick Jagger and Tina Turner.
No, this
you know
is,
when like,
no, no, no.
Oh.
This is Mick Jagger and David Bowie singing Dancing in the Street. Like that. We should do this whole segment back to back.
It's terrible. But also, just a little nitpick here.
Right.
You have said, long story short, about 8 or 9 times today. And just a little tip here for you. Just before you... You could make that story even shorter by not fucking saying long story short at the beginning. You lose a whole fucking 3 words, 4 words,
whatever
it is.
I'm not
going to
get into this.
Long story short, 3 words.
I'm not going to get into this. Long story short, I'm not getting into this, all right? We need to wrap this fucking show up.
All right.
Mr. Putner, I believe you're performing in Panto this year. Where can we be finding you?
No, I think you've mixed me up.
I thought this is like those old BBC sitcoms where at the end of the credits they had to mandatory put in
sitcoms
and plays they were in.
Frank Thornton will be appearing in Whoops-a-Daisy at the Bromley Theatre.
Jim Davidson appearing in Not Without My Wives.
I did a short film this week.
Oh.
And everyone thought I was very good.
Yeah?
Yes.
First ever film directed by monkeys.
I played the role of Rufus.
Rufus?
Rufus.
Oh, Rufus the Roofer.
That was my character name.
And what did you have to do in...
And you know what's strange? Is in the original script, I was put down as Eli. And
mate,
I said, no, don't.
I'm out of this now. I'm done.
Good. Yeah. Long story short, shut up.
I'm done.
Yeah. Rufus. But in the original version of the script, because they wrote the role with me in mind, they just put Eli as a character. I'm like, no. So the alternative... the alternative, what they came up with, was Rufus. But funnily enough, because I saw my father today, Rufus was what could have been my name as well. All of my names came
you
from...
You do look like a Rufus.
Yeah, and Eli is similar to name to Rufus, isn't it, in a weird way?
No.
They don't sound alike. Same etymology, I don't believe.
Rufus,
you know.
Thomas. Also, I might have been called Levi after... Named after?
Jeans.
Levi Stubbs, lead singer of the Four Tops.
Well, you're not any of those names, so thank you for wasting our time by telling me all the names you're not. So where were you recently? You just came back from a film shoot where
I've been filming. They cut all my hair off. I had really long hair.
What have you been filming?
I've been... it's a French film.
Oh, hello.
In France? In France.
I've got to do a bit of French, yeah.
I'm playing
an English character.
Filming in Paris?
Something in Paris.
Oh, nice. Brilliant.
So I've been going backwards and forwards. Oh, it's great fun. I have 3 days off in Paris.
What'd you do?
Felt like
Disney.
A widower.
You go to Euro Disney, you do the tombs, the catacombs.
Yeah, what did you do?
I just wandered
around
on my own.
I lived there for a couple of months years ago, and I didn't really know anyone, and I did. Yeah, you can get quite lonely there, wandering around.
Yeah, I did. I thought I'd go do the obvious landmarks, which I hadn't done for a while.
The Eiffel Bridge.
Eiffel Bridge.
Rubbish. You've been to the Louvre?
No, I've never been. Never.
Not worth going.
No.
Can't see anything.
Bullshit.
Chimney people. And it's too hot.
Everything's covered with soup.
There's another big gallery there.
Musée d'Orsay.
That's right.
That's the one.
And that's got all the 20th century stuff, the Impressionists and stuff. So
there's
going to be more.
What'd you say? Les Dawson. You said Les Dawson.
No one said Les Dawson.
I thought the other one
to go to.
Yeah. All right. That is the one to go to.
You know, for your Paris tips here.
Yes.
Part of this, you always end with, like, Paris tips. And you're the Paris correspondent.
Paris
each week, and we've got Paul Putner.
You become
more and more French, your accent, each week.
Paul Putner's Paris.
Had a French partner for the best part of 18 years.
Well, you speak French, though, no?
No, I don't speak any.
Was that out of, like, just malice?
Not living in France.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No,
she never taught you?
No, she does want to, but I just keep sort of, not yet. Yeah.
Not yet.
What? Just one little thing. The mispronounced landmark that you were looking for was the Pompidou Centre.
Pompidou.
No, but you were mispronouncing them, so Pompidou.
Oh, you wanted to interrupt for that?
Pumper-poo.
No, I like the way you get close to the mic, as if it's to say that when you get close to it, it's funnier.
Do you, Robert, when you were ever spoken with a microphone, because of your name, similar to my alliteration name, did you ever pop the mic?
Well, I don't know, maybe.
By saying,
I think it's fine.
I've probably been sitting quite far back, so I'm so
relaxed. I've been adjusting the lens, so you're all right.
I probably have. yeah. popped the mic.
Pop.
That's horrible.
Do you realise?
Yeah.
I worked it out almost to the month we first met 30 years ago.
Right, tell us that story. I like a lovely showbiz story.
That was a comic strip.
That was, I did a day's filming on Lavender Hill in early 94. I worked it out.
That was my first job.
And Robert, what was your role on that?
It was with Peter Richardson, the comic strip.
I was just glam metal detectives.
Yeah, I started as a runner, then I was his assistant. Yeah. My first day, by the way, I didn't know anything about how TV's made or anything. And I remember, so I was doing, obviously did all the shit jobs and had quite light coloured trousers, don't know why. And it was a windy day. I was told, can you go and get some coffees and teas? And I had a tray. And it was in those days when you just use styrofoam things, you just chuck them in the bin, doesn't matter. And a whole tray of these coffees and shit. And I'd been there maybe an hour and really nervous. And the wind blew all of them over my, in the crotch area mainly.
That's
and
where
all
it has to go.
And I had to spend the first day on set like that. And I was, yeah. I remember we had a horrible camera assistant on that set. There's me and another runner. Hmm. And he was horrible. He was like a bit of a bully. And we wanted to get him back. And he used to pick on us quite a lot. He was a right prat. So we thought, right. And I shouldn't really say this. Fuck it. He had this camera bag, this like nice camera bag he bought, and he was showing it off, this leather camera bag that he loved. And we noticed he put it by the end of a table. And we decided between us, look, if we put all the like used cups of coffee on the edge of that table, people naturally put all their coffee on the edge of the table. And what will happen is someone will bump into the table and they'll fall in his bag. And then when it was the end, and it said cut, and
that's a wrap.
What was a wrap? Mm. I can't even remember what the bloody thing is. That's a cut. Yeah. Everyone went. You just heard him basically sort of scream, "My bag!"
Yeah.
And there's about four cups of coffee in there.
Wanker.
And it was a good day.
Cliff Parisi, he was the other actor.
He was
Minty
Cliff.
From EastEnders, yep. And the little kid,
George Asumi. No,
George was in it. He's now he's a concept art painter.
Is he?
Yeah, conceptual
artist. I freaked
artist.
Him out because he was an actor in it. And I freaked him out because I've got a weird thing with telephone numbers. I remember everyone's telephone number. And I bumped into George that I hadn't seen since like 1995 or maybe not 20 years. I bumped him in the street. He didn't remember me at all. Anyway, I said, I can still remember your phone number where your mum's house. And I did it to him. I'm not going to say it now, but I do remember. And he just stared at me like,
yeah.
Oh, how do you remember that? And then I said, do you remember me? He said, not really. And then he walked off.
Can I ask, so that's a talent you have, but do you also remember strings of numbers generally? I mean, do you...
Probably could, yeah.
But do you make an effort when someone...
Well, it's not... I can remember...
Obviously, this is cut off about 15 years ago.
I could do the home telephone numbers when in the old ones, and four easier than... I can learn mobiles if I had to. When we used to do Peep Show, like... In the edit, Becky Martin, the director, we'd have like the sheet with like the cast and crew list, and people like the insurance company things, and I would learn, like she'd give me like, okay, 5 minutes, learn 15 numbers, and then she'd test me, and like, what is the phone number of like, the insurance company?
I'm going to bring back You Bet, and when we get that back, you can come on, and you can do the phone number thing challenge. How about that?
Apparently, remember those mustachioed 0181 guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, 118. They're dead.
Directly responsible.
What was the one which went 50, 50, 50?
0891, 50, 50.
That was like a sex chat line.
What about the red telephone one? Yeah.
The red telephone?
No. That used to jump in the air and freeze frame.
That was N. Rytel. Oh, right. Did the voice for that.
Oh, that was Thompson Directory.
Yes.
I think.
N. Rytel made a fortune.
I did a phone call to 118118 once. That was like, the directory. And I phoned up in my stupid voice. And they answered, hello, 118118. I said, hello, you have a nice voice. I said, thank you very much. How can I help you? What number are you looking for? You have a nice voice. I said, thank you so much. You have a nice voice. And then he was, no, that's the number of the company. You have a nice voice.
Oh, beautiful.
We should do prank calls.
No.
Yes, we should.
No,
they're
great. Balls for crank calls.
I love them.
And then I get sad inside and guilt-ridden.
Why? Because you made someone hear your voice.
They also did a thing for a while where you could ask them any question. It was like, obviously, to try and get more money because the internet was around. Hmm. So you could also ask them any question and they'll find out for you. And my question, what is the name of the millionth lady?
Well, now we're entering a new age of absolute nonsense, aren't we, with AI?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
You ask it something, it just tells you the wrong thing.
Does it?
And it says, go on, that's your lot.
Your stand-up's getting better. Right, shall we wrap this show up? Because we've got to clear out in a little while.
Airplane food.
That's a cut.
That is a cut.
That is a cut.
After almost 30 years, the most audacious musical event in recording history is finally available to add to your collection today. Graxton Records proudly presents Clifford, Scared of Me. Featuring 11 outstanding tracks guaranteed to change how you think about music. Featuring the momentous hit single, Jumping Horses.
Jumping Horses. They're jumping horses. Jumping horses.
Sink into the hauntingly moving hauntology of no cinema around here. Wrap your eager ears around the thrilling title track, Scared of Me. And why not shake your arse to Zum Golly Golly Tea Time Mix? And finally, let your mind unwind to Fly Fishing, open brackets, J.R. Hartley, close brackets. Scared of Me, available now on MP3, cassette, vinyl record, CD, Blu-ray, DVD, wax cylinder and printed sheet music. If you only hear one album this year, make sure Clifford, Scared of Me is your last. A Graxton Records release. Buy it now.
And that's the end of the Cheap Show this week. Thank you once again to our guests today, Mr. Robert Popper.
Thank you.
And Mr. Paul Putner.
Thank you.
We're going to get you back soon, by the way, because we've got a plan. We've got a plan for you.
All right.
We've got a plot for you. We've got a plan in mind.
Nothing to do with eating incredibly
hot. No, we wouldn't. This is the thing on Cheap Show. We put ourselves through that. We'd never do our guests like that.
You did. You made him eat something hot before.
Did I?
No.
I didn't make you eat that biscuit.
Maybe a burger or something.
Yeah, he did. And you eat like a hot sort of Dorito thingy.
The one chip challenge, yes.
Yeah.
Which Paul.
No, here we go.
Wussy. I don't know what the word is.
I'm sensitive. And I don't need to put myself through that. And I don't really think you should. How dare you? How dare you? Right.
One last thing on this mic take.
There's no
sharing.
Mic take. I don't like this.
Look online and look for Etta James and Dr. John. They share a mic. They look like they want to devour each other.
Right, okay. Is that all you've got then?
Yes.
Thank you. Right, thank you. That was Cheap Show this week. For all the social media, for all the YouTube, for all the information you need, dedicated pages for each episode, go to our website, thecheapshow.co.uk. And hey, some lovely people support us on Patreon. If you'd like to be one of those, you can go to patreon.com/cheapshow. Give what you can, but only if you can. And there are years worth of videos, behind the scenes stuff, commentaries, magazines, extra podcasts.
The Derek Quadrilogy.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that, mate.
The Derek Quadrilogy.
Yes.
Why don't you ask our guests if they've got anything going
on? That's what I do next, numbnuts. Let me get through this. Fuck's sake.
Numbnuts.
Yes, I'm bringing all the 90s phrases back, you dweeb.
Why would a numbnut make you stupid?
It'd just be a condition in my nuts. Probably, actually.
I get
if my nuts were numb. I wouldn't think about my nuts so much, and I'd think, oh, I've got time for cognitive stuff because my nuts, I don't have any feeling there. So it doesn't make sense.
Just go back to the thing about Etta James's microphone. That's it. So, Mr. Putner, where can people find you? What are you up to these days? How are you, darling? I miss you.
Well, this thing I'm doing in Paris probably won't be out for another year. Okay. By that time, I imagine most people would have forgotten I mentioned that.
We asked what kind of genre film
it's a drama.
Oh.
The French like
period
drums.
Political drama.
Is it erotic? Because the French are quite
erotic
people.
And you're doing some French in it?
I'm doing some French.
What are your lines? Go on.
Do you know what? I'm actually learning them at the moment.
Right. So this is one of those kind of like phonetic memory kind of things.
Oh, God, yeah. Tell me about it. I didn't realise I was doing it in French until recently.
Quite a lot of French to speak?
No, it's not a great deal.
No,
but enough to make you.
No.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything else that immediately. Just
the usual
screeny stuff.
Keep yourself to yourself, mate. You know, don't worry about it. Beautiful. Thanks for coming along.
No, it's a pleasure,
Mr. Popper. Where can people find you should they want to? You might not want their attention.
I mean, I don't want people to find me. No.
If they do, can they recite your phone number back to you?
They could.
They could.
No, they could. It's quite an easy phone number.
Yeah,
actually.
And I'll put it at the end of this
Please
episode.
Do. Yeah, yeah. In French.
In French.
I'm writing a book, a mad book. Oh. I can't say what it is because it will ruin the concept of what I'm doing. But I'm doing a book.
Non-fiction?
Yeah.
Is it big? Will it be about this big?
It'll be smaller than that, which is good radio.
About this size?
Mm. Yeah, it'll be about that size.
About that thick?
Thicker. Yeah, it'll be like that. That one. The one that none of the viewers... Pickle. No, that's too thick.
That's too thick.
Yeah. No, you had it before, right at the top.
That one?
Yeah.
So if anyone's listening at home, bless you. Thank you. The book that will come out will be the size of Penguin's Classics' Gustave Flaubert's Madame Bovary.
Gustave Flaubert's... That's what I'm writing.
He's literally doing a modern interpretation of that. Right. Well, thank you both. And you too, Eli. Thank you.
Don't touch me.
This is the longest goodbye on a podcast.
He always does this. You always do this. Just cut it off.
To cut a long story short, this podcast is over.
Goodbye.